The end result. What was my result? Well, I wanted to marry the woman of my dreams by a specific date. And I was totally prepared. If I got to December 31st, 1993, I wasn't going to go, you know, running down the street going, you know, I've got a goal and I've got a deadline. And here are my positive qualities. I was fully prepared, if I had to back up the date. The date's a guess. I mean, I'll say it out loud. The date is a guess. You really don't know. You can have a wiser guess, but it's just a guess. Now, you don't want to use that as a cop-out, but if you get to the date and you haven't met your result, you just push back. It means you guessed wrong about the date. There are two primary results that you have to get clear on in your life to really unlock your full potential. Number one, I get real fancy words here. It's who. Who and what. Those are the two things that you've got to work on. Who and what. Number one, who. Who do you want to become as a person? Who do you want to become as a person? What's your mission? What's your purpose in life? What do you want to be known for? What are the qualities that you want your life to stand for? What are the values that you want your life to stand for? Who do you want to become as a person? Number two is what? What? And what are the goals? What are the goals that you are intending to accomplish? Problem is, a lot of people start working on the goals before they work on the who. In other words, they don't get clear on the bigger picture, what their life is all about, who they want to become as a person, and they just go and set some goals. And that's one reason that people have challenges with motivation, because they set a goal without giving it enough thought. It's, how is this goal consistent with who I want to become as a person? See, it's the pursuit of the right goals that cause you to become the right person. It's the pursuit of the right goals that cause you to become the right person. That's the good news. The bad news is, it's the pursuit of the wrong goals that cause you to become the wrong person. Wrong person meaning a person that is not true to themselves, a person who is not living up to their potential. And the key word in there was pursuit. Done properly, the pursuit of the right goal causes you to become more like the person that you want to become. Just the pursuit. In fact, that's one clue that tells you that you're setting the right goals. Just the very pursuit. You don't even have to reach it. But the flip side of that is you don't even have to reach a goal that's wrong for you to be adversely affected by it. Just pursuing the wrong goal is going to change you on the inside, and you're going to become somebody that you don't really want to become. So think about it. It's the pursuit of the right goals that help you to become the right person. When you're setting a goal and you've just written it out, you go, well, will the pursuit of this goal cause me to grow more like this person? That's one of your qualifying questions. What is going to be the result of my pursuing this goal with my whole heart over the next 3 years, over the next 10 years? Who am I going to become as a result of that? And if the answer is something that you like, that's good. If it's not, then you need to do some more homework. The second part of the equation is the what, the goals. You know, what are your specific measurable goals for your lifetime? I have all my clients write down at least 150. I mean, that's really not that much. How many people in here are going to live at least another 30 years? Hold on, keep them up. Because I want to focus on you. If you just live 30 more years, that's just 5 goals a year. 5 goals a year is 150. All right, right now, think about this. What are the things you want to achieve? Just write achieve down. Who are the people that you want to meet and have a conversation with? Okay, things you want to achieve, people you want to meet and have a conversation with. Where are the places you want to travel? What are your giving and contribution goals? What do you want to learn? What adventures do you want to go on? What are 20 books you want to read that you haven't read yet? What experiences do you want to have with your spouse that you haven't had yet? What experiences do you want to have with your children? Want to see them graduate from high school. Want to see them graduate from college. I want to go on a month-long sabbatical with them when they turn X age. Experiences, it broadens the equation. Do you think you come up with 20 for each of those? Somebody do the math. 160? You're already there. And there's other categories, but right off the bat, one thing that'll help you, broaden the category of goals to include experiences. We make it so specific, we think of it has to be an achievement. An experience. Anything that you want to experience that you haven't experienced is a goal. Write it down. Get it down in writing. I like to think of the who, the mission part of it, as your constitution for life. We've got a constitution. What is a mission statement? That's a constitution for your life. What does a constitution do? It spells out what is allowable in your life and what's not allowable. Putting together a constitution is one of the first things that we did in this country, and it's one of the first things that you need to do, if not the first, to get to that next level of success. What is allowable in your life? What is not allowable? Go through each role in your life. Mother, father, entrepreneur, salesman, child of God. However you want to lay it out, list all the roles. Describe how you want to be remembered. Write it in the present tense. A mission statement is the written articulation of your full potential. Written, this is key, written as though it's true today. Written as though it's true today. You write, I am. In other words, when a mission statement is complete, if it got out, if it got into the wrong hands, it would probably be embarrassing. Why? Because most people don't understand why you'd be writing something in the present tense about yourself that's not true today. That's the one clue right there. If you're not a little bit uncomfortable when you're done with it, you haven't done a good job on it. Your mission statement is not who you are today. It's who you want to be, who you believe God can help you be 30 years from now, 40 years from now, 50 years from now. But you write it as though it's true today so that your brain can start to go to work on it immediately. It's a written statement of your full potential right there for you to look at. And each time that you look at it, you adjust course. Each time you look at it, you compare yourself to that statement, that document, for the last 24 hours. What have I done the last 24 hours to mesh up with what's written here on this personal mission statement? Is my life consistent with it? What do I need to do most urgently? Mission statement. It's a written articulation of your full potential. It's really the best case scenario. You start thinking about your life and your future, and you go, you know, what's the best case scenario? You write it out. That's your mission statement. It contains what you stand for, what you don't want to stand for, what's allowable, and it's a great thing to have when you're done. And if you want to get up every morning and read it, I have clients that read it every morning. I have clients that read it aloud every morning. I have them that do it once a week. I have some that have recorded it onto audio cassette, and they just play it on the way to work in their own voice with some good music behind it. And that image just gets ingrained over and over and over again. You know what happens? You get more uncomfortable not living up to that constitution than you do to stray from it. You get sensitive. It'd be like stepping on hot coals or something. You know, a lot of people with their life, I mean, a mission statement isn't a savior. It just helps keep you on track. Oftentimes we can drift like this. Off track, off track, off track. If this were a basketball court, I'm up in the nosebleed section before I realize I'm out of bounds. A mission statement does not guarantee your success. All it does, if being in front of this podium is being on purpose in your life, then the mission statement just causes you to start to get uncomfortable about here. You start to get sensitive to being out of step and off purpose. Without the mission statement, it's no major problem unless your life is of concern to you. You just drift. Eventually you will hit a wall or you will hit a boundary and something will tell you, ah, I've got to go back. So a lot of people visualize this, stick with me. That's what their life is like. They go off this way, they drift, they drift, they drift, and then they go, man, I got to get things together. So then they get temporarily committed and they go back the other way. What do? They pass center. And over here is burnout. Oh, enough of that. So they drift back, and they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that's life that they're wasting. All of this extraneous time. It's like a swimmer who jumps in the pool and flails all the way to the other side. He finally gets there. Yeah, he got there. Somebody else is on lap four, who knows the clearest and the most direct way to get from point A to point B. So with a mission statement, you're not going to stay right here in front of the podium. You're not going to be perfect. It's going to be like this. So we cut down on the drift, which means we've saved life. We've saved life and put it to more productive purposes. So a mission statement is one of the most important things you can do. It's the who. It's the who. It's the who. With regard to the what, we wanted to make sure that all your goals pass the constitutional test. Will the pursuit of this goal help me to become more like the person that I described? One last great mental exercise to go through is to think about an ideal lifestyle. The members of the 1% Club are in the program. This is our 90-day program that we have in Atlanta. They're in the program for lifestyle. They have an average income of about $350,000 a year. They're not coming in the program for me to teach them how to make money. They're coming in there because they're at the stage of their life where they're growing their business. Average age is about 40. They're growing their business and they're growing their family at the same time, and those things butt heads. And they find it unacceptable to mess up either. They want to get to the next level financially, but not if it means messing up other areas of their life. They're there for lifestyle. So one of the greatest things you can do is describe that ideal lifestyle. You know, if you had your ideal lifestyle right now, how much money would you have in income? How much would you have in net worth? What sort of home would you be living in? How much rejuvenation time would you have? How much time with your kids would you have? How much time would you have to learn what you want to learn? What sort of experiences would you engage in with your children, with your spouse? What are all the key components of an ideal lifestyle? And you lay all those things out. And you go, well, where am I now in each of those areas? You know, come up with 10 qualities. You know, if I would say, hey, if you want to be married and you're single, come up with the qualities of the person you want to meet. Well, if you don't have that ideal lifestyle, describe it. Come up with 10 qualities and then write down, well, where are you now relative to those qualities? All right, what are a few steps to bridge the gap? How can we get from where we are now to where we want to go? If you were carving an elephant, this is the elephant example. If you were carving an elephant out of a block of clay, what would you have to know about that elephant before you started chipping away? Exactly what it looks like, right? Before you made that first chip out of the block of clay to ultimately create the elephant, you need to have a clear mental picture of exactly what kind of elephant you're trying to carve. What happens if you're just excited about carving an elephant and you just start chipping away? What happens? Yeah, you may end up with an elephant. If you start chipping before you're clear on precisely what it's going to look like, you may chip something away that then forces you to settle for some other sort of elephant than you originally intended. It would be awful. It'd be a shame to have this elephant as your goal, to not really think about it, start chipping away, and then to have to settle for this. But how many people do you know who made some chips that they wish they could take back, but once you chip it off, you can't put it back on. So the longer time perspective you take into consideration in making the key decisions in your life, the better those decisions are going to be. If you look back over your life and you think, what are the decisions that I'm most proud of? A question preceded all of those decisions, and it was, how is this going to affect me 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 1,000 years from now? The decision that you regret, you said something like, well, how's this going to make me feel in the next 15 minutes, next hour, the next week? Our human nature is consistent with short-term thinking. So we succeed to the degree that we're able to overcome that and think long-term about the key areas of our life. Long-term thinking is the hallmark of all great thinkers. Results, beginning with the end in mind. Point number one, which will actually be the last point as well.